Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin on the Central Coast. From Monterey to Ventura counties, the sky is hazy and in some places opaque with smoke from two wildfires. The Alamo Fire in San Luis Obispo and the Whittier Fire in Santa Barbara have prompted some 8,000 people to evacuate, including summer campers, as KCBX's Greta Mart reports.
Santa Barbara County Sheriff Bill Brown says about 3,500 people were evacuated from the area on Saturday, mostly from summer youth camps and campgrounds in the rural area. At one camp, 90 kids were temporarily trapped by flames.
The fire developed pretty rapidly. Basically, that camp got surrounded by fire, and there were some dramatic attempts to try to get up there to get those kids out.
In the rescue attempt, a vehicle driven by sheriff's deputies caught on fire and was destroyed. The cause of both fires is unknown and under investigation. The main concern now is that the Whittier fire will spread to a more urban area, says Brown.
People should be preparing to leave at a moment's notice if necessary.
For the California Report, I'm Greta Mart.
We're going to talk about a different type of heat in California this summer, the heat coming from protests on the right and the left. We've been following these protests turned street brawls on the California Report, including this one in Berkeley earlier this year. A leftist protester started this brawl. Brian Levin is director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at CSU San Bernardino, and he says the far left has become more violent this year. He joins us now in studio. Good morning, Brian.
Thank you so much for having me.
So one of the things that's been, I guess, surprising to many onlookers, because the left has often been associated in the past few decades with nonviolent protest, is this rise of violence within the left. Tell us why you think this is happening.
Well, I think it's happening for a couple of reasons. Number one, the intense political polarization that's been taking place. Number two, the advent of social media. And number three, better organizing by a consortium of hard left, violent prone groups.
When we talk about this uptick, what do we have to quantify it? How can we compare it to the past and say, yes, there is an increase in violence?
What we've done here in California, we've counted 21 incidents of public violent political demonstrations since December 2015. Now what we're seeing are these demonstrations that are the culmination of a choreographed dance between alt-right and neo-Nazis on one side and anti-fascists and anti-racists on the other.
And in fact, Brian, one of the things that we're seeing is that these groups are choosing California because of the symbolism. So, for example, Berkeley was chosen earlier this year because it's long been the home of the left when the alt-right wanted to bring speakers who, you know, they knew would cause a lot of consternation. And they didn't just see consternation. They saw violence in the case of Milo Yiannopoulos. And I know I was at San Bernardino just a few weeks ago during the so-called, march against Sharia that happened in San Bernardino. I know you were there as well. And it seemed much, much more like two groups looking for a street fight as opposed to a political protest.
I think you're exactly right. These two groups are looking for street fights. And while Berkeley gets a lot of the press, 25% of these events occurred in Orange County. And oftentimes they were around either controversial speakers on campuses, but also political rallies related to Donald Trump, for instance. One of the things that I think is important is we're seeing a morphing away from this kind of choreographed battle at political demonstrations into something that's more nefarious, and that is organizing over the internet to try and recruit people who will commit violence, not just at demonstrations, but on their own. And that is something that is scary. It's not just revolving around events now, but rather trying to recruit people from the much larger progressive peaceful groups into a more violent splinter, which will undertake violence not just at demonstrations, but elsewhere.
Brian Levin is the director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at CSU San Bernardino. Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, in the climate Brian Levin just outlined, it can be hard to laugh. But there were a chain of cultural festivals in Muslim communities that brought the funny, as KQED's Farida Jabalo Romero tells us.
Families pushed strollers and browsed at a bazaar of tents at the 5th annual Halal Fest in the city of Fremont. One of the highlights this year was comic Ahmed Ahmed, who performs throughout the U.S. Tonight, he jokes about being stopped frequently at airports and being thrown in the brown room at LAX.
There was a white guy with a tan in the brown room. Swear to God, I walked by him. I was like, are you even supposed to be in here? He was like, I don't know, man. I was in the sun for too long.
Ahmed says one of his goals as a comedian is to humanize Muslims while making people of all backgrounds laugh.
Cultural diversity is the best, you know. If you don't have cultural diversity and cross-cultural understandings and handshakes, then we live in a very divided world.
Comedian Rami Youssef says he's often the only Muslim in the bars and venues where he does stand-up. It's part of his gig to dispel stereotypes.
A lot of people think Muslims don't laugh. A lot of people think that they are not willing to, you know, take a joke. And for some, it's going to be true. But for the most part, I think we're a group of people that, like, really do love to laugh. It's a big part of the culture.
Zainab Burney couldn't agree more. She came from San Ramon with her three kids and husband to see the comedy show.
It helps lighten the mood and bring everybody together as a community. And if you can't laugh, you can't enjoy life, especially during tumultuous times.
Instead of worrying about the news, Bernie can't stop laughing on this warm summer night. For the California Report, I'm Farida Javala Romero in Fremont.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
And that's the California Report for Monday, July 10th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.